It's Here and Now. And if you're not hungry right now, you probably will be as soon as this segment is over, because our resident chef, Kathy Gunst, is back with us in the studio. And we're talking fish today. Kathy, great to see you.
Hi, Jeremy. Great to see you. Not just fish.
Not just fish.
Summer fish.
What's the difference?
Well, it's interesting. You don't tend to think of something like fish and seafood as being seasonal, but in fact, it very much is. You know how in the spring we have shad roe and soft-shell crabs? Those are fish that are only available in the spring. Mm. Well, in the summer, there are certain fish that are absolutely only here in the summer. For example, on the East Coast, we have something so fabulous called summer flounder. It's actually fluke. It's extremely delicate. It is such a wonderful fish. You only really get it during the summer months. And so, therefore, it becomes a fish that you associate with summer. Lobsters we get year-round, but they are really plentiful in the summer, and prices are going down because the weather's good and fishermen can have easier access to it. So there's all kinds of fish that really we have access to during these wonderful summer months when we're outdoors, we're at the beach, and we want to be eating this kind of food.
And by the way, when you mention lobsters being low priced, you live in Maine, we should say, where you can probably get them
true.
For what, like $2 a pound or
well,
something?
Well, close, like $3 a pound.
Okay.
But you know, in the winter, the prices for lobster are so high because conditions are just so tough. And so much of fish and seafood right now has to do with what's available and what we ask for. So here's the story. People, you hear the word sustainability a lot and sustainable fish. So I wrote to Sheila Bowman at the Monterey Bay Aquarium. She's in charge of something called Seafood Watch. I said, Sheila, what defines a sustainable fish? And this is what she told me. She said, it's seafood caught or farmed in ways that ensure a supply of seafood long into the future.
Okay, so give us an example.
Well, I asked her as well. She immediately said lobster, and she didn't know I lived in Maine, okay? Certainly flounder. Things like mackerel are becoming very big. Sardines, mullet, certain types of tuna, skipjack tuna, something called wreckfish. There's all kinds of new fish that we're seeing in the markets now, and it's not because these are species that are brand new. It's because we have overfished cod. We have overfished haddock. We have overfished the kind of fish that our parents grew up with and that we took for granted and assumed would be around forever. Well, guess what? Nothing lasts forever. So a lot of chefs now are cooking and having special festivals for what they call trash fish. An
trash
unfortunate
fish.
Name, I think. This is the fish that everybody used to throw back into the ocean because it was considered trash. So I asked two chefs I know, tell me about this trash fish. So Evan Mallett, who's the chef of the Black Trumpet in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, he is just crazed over this, absolutely loved it, went on and on about pollock and something called spiny dogfish, which sounded really scary. And he said, fishermen hate it because they get stuck in their gill nets and its dorsal spine can rip open the brawniest forearm like it was made of crepe paper. And he said, chefs don't know what to do with it. But marinated and grilled, it's fabulous. So we have to kind of expand our horizons of what kind of fish we want and forget about the name. No one used to eat monkfish because it was ugly. But then Julia Child let us know that monkfish was the poor man's lobster.
Well, and Chilean sea bass, that's what we call it. But in fact, it used to be the Patagonian toothfish.
It's all in a name.
Doesn't sound as delicious.
It's all in a name. If the name sounds bad, it's probably sustainable and good for you.
But, okay, what have you got here for me, though?
Okay,
this is
so
what I want to know.
For me, a New Englander, I grew up on the East Coast, clams are summer.
Yes.
This is a very simple, and you're looking at it probably thinking, doesn't look that simple, but it is. It's a seafood stew. It's got chorizo, which is a Spanish, slightly spicy sausage, a little bit of onion, garlic, fresh tomatoes from the garden, fresh basil, and then clams and white wine. And you just cook it on the stovetop, and there's a big crusty bread there for you to dunk into
okay.
those
All
juices.
Right. But first
also.
I'm actually going to just have,
Go
I just dipped
it.
Into the sauce a
Literally,
little
Literally, it takes you about 10, 15 minutes to cook this. And it's right in one pan. I have it in my cast iron pan. You could cook it on the grill if you didn't want to heat up your kitchen in the summer. This is a terrific dish. Clams are abundant in the summer.
And what do you do? You just throw the clams in there whole and then they open
up? Yeah, and
or
you put the white wine on and you crank the heat and you just cook it until the clams open up and release their clam juice, and they intermingle with the white wine and the garlic and the onions and that fabulous chorizo. That was a clam shell falling.
I'm thinking my friends back at home in Illinois are saying, clams, where am I supposed to get those?
Yeah,
right.
You know, I mean, most people want to eat fried clams in the summer, but I think this will give fried clams a good go.
Okay, I'm just going to, so that people can get a full flavor for what we have right here in front of us, I'm pulling off a little piece of baguette here that Kathy has
crusty,
brought in.
Crusty, warm baguette.
I'm
He's
just
dipping them
it
in
into the
juices.
Sauce here.
And you could put that over pasta, but for a summer meal, it's just perfect on its own. And as tomatoes come in, there's a ton of basil in the garden just starting. I threw a lot of that in. You can really have fun with this. You could add bits of tuna to that. You could add farm mussels, another sustainable fish, to that. You could really create a very complex fish stew. But this is super simple, and a 10-minute dinner for the summer. Sounding good?
10 minutes?
10 minutes. I know. I just made it for you. Depends how long you want to let the onions go. But it is a super quick stew. Very complex flavors for a quick stew.
Okay, what are some of your other favorite summer dishes?
All right, well, so the classic, I'm going back to lobster, is lobster roll. My motto is, when it comes to lobster, keep it simple. So a little mayonnaise, and you don't have to make your own. Fresh lemon juice mixed into the mayonnaise is going to make it taste homemade. A little bit of fresh chives, maybe a chopped scallion, celery, maybe, maybe not. You like the crunch. But celery leaves, you know, the top part you throw away, fabulous in lobster salad. Fabulous. And then, of course, it has to be on a hot dog roll. You must toast it in butter.
A real hot dog roll or one of those New England Fenway hot dog rolls that look like a piece of bread that you folded in half?
Is there really a difference?
Yes, there is.
Really? Explain it to me. It's white dough. Anyway, you toast the roll, whichever version you have. Or you could do it on a baguette and get fancy. That's it. Let me tell you about another one.
Yes.
That summer flounder or summer sole, fillet of sole, one of my absolute favorites, very delicate. I like to do it almost like a piccata style, like a chicken piccata. Dredge it very lightly in a seasoned flour, heat olive oil, get it get really hot, 3 minutes on each side, cut a lemon paper thin, throw that in, throw in some capers. Done.
Well, see, now, 3 minutes on each side. When you say that, I think that the trick to not screwing up fish is don't overcook it, right?
Not only don't overcook it, but don't play with it. Put it in the pan. 3 minutes. I'm not talking about, oh, let's check it. Oh, is it done? Is it a little brown? Leave it alone. 3 minutes, flip it. Let it get really brown on that side, because flounder and sole are fairly thin. Summer flounder, which is fluke, as we just learned, is a bit thicker, but 3 minutes, perfect cooking. When you're grilling, a lot of people do tend to overcook it. If your fish is starting to fall apart on the grill, you're overdoing
it.
Take it off when it's undercooked, and you can always put it back on. Take it off when it's overcooked, and you're going to have to get some fancy sauces.
Well, and what about the absolute simplicity of putting a piece of swordfish with just some olive oil, salt, and pepper, and lemon maybe on the grill?
I'm with you. A lot of people fish all summer. Whole fish are really wonderful on the grill. You want to gut it and scale it, and then you could lay paper-thin lemon slices and fresh herbs in there and salt and olive oil and throw that on the grill for about 15 minutes, and boy, a whole fresh-caught summer fish, heaven. You know, nobody wants to be in the kitchen, and you want to be eating fresh fish. You want to be eating fish that's from where you are. So find out what's in your fish markets. Find out what's sustainable. You can go onto the Monterey Bay Aquarium website. We can give you a link where you can learn more about sustainability and what it means and how to find sustainable fish in your area.
Kathy Gunst, here in Now's resident chef. Thanks as always for coming in.
Thanks, Jeremy.
And in addition to those links, we've also got recipes, that's the most important thing, and photos at our website, hereandnow.org. Check them out. Here and Now is a production of NPR and WBUR Boston in association with the BBC World Service. I'm Jeremy Hobson.
I'm Robin Young. This is Here and Now.